And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Arby Fenchurch. On today's show, we're hearing from the Bisons about their trip to Brisbane for the Bingham Cup, the Gay Rugby World Cup.
And we're joined in the studio by the lovely Chris and Nate from Pride Cap, which is Bristol's Comic Arts Festival, talking about this year's event.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out. I thought Laura was going to be here for that, so it's normally her bit. That
it is. She normally likes to sing along to the start.
So, how are we all? It's just rained. I feel cool.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, it did rain for about 2 seconds. Minutes. Yeah, not long.
Wasn't it visual? I had two showers.
I tell you what.
You needed it.
I know, right? I walked past College Green yesterday. I think it's going to need to be renamed College Brown. it looks devastated.
Yeah, thank God grass is quite a versatile.
Hardy.
Well, versatile, what do I mean? Hardy, yeah, plant. So, and there's fires even here. We've got them over in Wales and we've got them in Essex.
Scotland?
Have we got them in Scotland?
Yeah, Kengorms.
Oh. I thought it did nothing but rain in Scotland.
This also doesn't count because it's a different country.
Yeah, it's not our jurisdiction.
But everything is fine, Daily Mail readers. You can carry on flying around the world and you can keep on buying your conspiracy theories that there's no such thing as global warming and it's all fine.
And your V8s.
If you don't know what a V8 is, just Google it on AI and, you know.
Google it on AI, is that a thing?
Yes. I'm absolutely down with the tech.
Oh, that's sick.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Well, we're showing our age now, aren't
wicked.
We?
Wicked. Wicked.
You're not allowed to say wicked anymore, are you?
I'm sure it's about 30, 40 years out.
If Darren was here, she would be absolutely mortified. Murdering us right
40 years
now.
Out of date.
What happened to sock it to me?
I was never trendy in the 20 when I was 20 anyway, so...
We're one step away from saying, what's
up? Oh, my God, that's going back a bit, isn't it?
Budger.
Yeah, it was Budweiser, wasn't it?
Budweiser.
Yeah, it was Budweiser out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember everyone shouted it. You hear it in the street, someone will just phone someone else and go, what's up? You'd be like, okay, yeah, enough.
I'm old enough to remember Tango.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And they got banned.
They got banned at my school,
Some people get damaged their ears because people were slapping them around
the
ears.
Yeah, we had that at my school. But, I mean, if you watch the actual original advert... The Tango guy, for those of you who never saw it, this is 90s, early 90s this was.
Maybe
it was Tango.
Even earlier, maybe even earlier.
Tango advert. I'm not that old, mate. he'd go round and he'd like, and they'd do it in like super fast motion, wouldn't they?
Yes.
And this larger guy that they just painted bright orange would go around and he literally, both hands, slap round the face. You know, and then all the kids started copying it at school, but what happened was there were lots of perforated eardrums and like, so.
Talking of colour, has anyone seen the rainbow table?
Yes.
All the hullabaloo with the snowflakes or the right wing.
Well,
snowflakes.
I think it was just one reformed councillor, wasn't it?
And he looks like he's about 12 in his photo.
Yeah,
I don't know how old he actually is. I was like, good Lord, mate, grow
early
up 20s, a bit.
Complaining at a rainbow table.
Speaking of reform, do you know 144 councillors have now resigned?
What? Do you know what I was
since they
that?
Got, yeah, since they got in power.
Because they find that, in actual fact, the job of being a councillor
is quite difficult.
Very difficult, and that they're not prepared for it. They think they can go in, oh, I'm going to close down Pride, I'm going to close down Black Festivals, I'm going to close down... And, of course, they can't do it, so they resign.
I think Carl was talking about that to us earlier.
We were talking about it earlier on.
144. I mean, how many weeks is that? It must be 12 a week or something. It's ridiculous.
Oh, and we'd probably be getting a new MP in Clacton very soon. Binface.
You never know. We can't.
I would laugh if it is. It
I would cheer from the top of the rooftops.
I always loved that eccentricity of British elections where people viewing from other countries where they don't have these traditions sort of see
the monster raving loony
parties.
Screaming Lord Such.
People dressed as chickens, people dressed as, you know, in latex. I remember when they held the 97 general election, somebody said, I'm going to stand as the more sleazy parliament candidate. So there was the 6'1" drag queen with flashing breasts on the television standing for the more sleaze parties.
Oh. That's flashing with lights, actually.
Flashing with lights, yes. Fairy lights. But it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
So, yeah. Anyway, I want to say good luck to the Bisons.
Yes, yeah, in the Bingham Cup.
They're off to the Bingham Cup. It was quite interesting. I play it in a set, but I ended up having a little reminisce of when Shantak covered the Union Cup back in about 2013, 2012, like somewhere. Yeah. Back there, we covered the whole weekend, if you remember.
We were up at French A Campus, weren't we?
We were, yes. And at that point, we were quite new on the air. We had all these people from all over Europe messaging us because they were all listening because all their rugby teams were over here playing. Yes. So, yeah. But I was like, Can shout out, come to Brisbane. Yeah. Come cover the Bingham Cup, but it's a little bit far for us to go. Yeah. It'll be way past
maybe
Steph's bedtime.
Day. Maybe one day.
Yeah, and they're, what are they, 11, 12 hour difference?
Yeah.
12. Oh, they're pretty much opposite to us, yeah.
That's...
So, but he was really, really excited, and it's really good. And they are, over the next few days, travelling down there to play in the Bingham Cup. If you don't know the Bingham Cup, it is the Gay Rugby World Cup.
Can you go as an accessory?
Yeah,
you know, like wash their shorts and
they're very well organised rugby clubs, you know. They're not, you know,
just, well, yeah. They wouldn't want him, is that what you're saying? I think that's what you alluded to.
If you listen to how many things the chap I speak to's done, you'd be like, I don't think they need anyone. He's the jack of all trades. He's amazing, yeah. So, okay, well, have a listen to this. Now, we may be 16 years old, but there's one group in Bristol that beats us by about 4 or 5 years, and that's the Bristol Bisons, who we've been very close with for many years, actually. But we haven't had them on the show for a little while, but there's a special event coming up, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. Now, listeners who may have been with us for a while might remember we covered something called the Union Cup all those years ago. Well, that's one of a couple. Joining me now live is Anthony from... the Bristol Bisons. Anthony, welcome.
Hey there, thank you for having me.
So now, are you just a player or are you an organiser?
I've been on the team for 5 years. In that time, I've had a few different roles. I was club secretary for 3 years. I was very proud to be one of our team captains at the last World Cup that we went to in Rome in 2024. At the moment, I am an avid supporter and big cheerleader. I'm there at every match. So, that's my role at the moment.
Nice. So, I mean, how many are you now? Do you know, roughly?
Oh, gosh, it'll be going into the 60s, 70s that we've got. Wow. It's quite a big herd of Bisons, yeah.
That's mad, because, I mean, like, you were some of our first guests when we started, and you were a lot smaller back then, but it just seems to keep growing. And I think we mentioned just quickly before we started recording, it has had quite a turnover of people over the years, but I suppose that kind of is indicative with sports things.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially in a contact sport like rugby. You know, some of us, maybe getting a bit injured or age might catch up with us, but that's the beauty of how the team's evolved. You know, we've gone from just having that contact team to having a touch team, making sure that we're reaching out to let people know that they can still support. So I think that's why our herd's gotten just so big.
That's amazing. Now, give us a little bit of the background, because, I mean, we say you're a gay rugby team, but correct me if I'm wrong, you're quite open to all, aren't you?
Absolutely that. So we're an inclusive rugby team. We're the first inclusive rugby team that the Southwest has. As you said, it was 20 years ago. We celebrated 20 years this weekend just gone.
Congratulations.
With two of our founders. Thank you very much. It was a really, really nice time reminiscing over absolutely everything that the Bisons have been able to achieve. Like you say, we hosted the Union Cup in 2013, which I heard was quite the event. And exactly that. We see, you know what, we see players and supporters turn up and they're here with us. They get what they need out the club, whether that's reigniting their passion for sport, finding sport in the first place. You know, when I joined, I couldn't even spell rugby, let alone play it. And for a lot of us, it was finding a space that was safe for us. And that's not to say that non-LGBTQ sports clubs are not safe, but you know what, for many of us, we just find it a lot easier to be around our community when we're playing our sports, for whatever reason that may be it experience as a PE when we were a kid, or still trying to find who we are ourselves. And do you know what? We see loads of amazing supporters, coaches and players come and go over the years with the Bisons.
But you think then it's just a club thing, it's a bit of fun, it's that I've seen you guys playing and I've seen the people you play against. It's serious sport. You do take it really seriously, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a commitment to play our best and a commitment to make sure we all enjoy it. And, you know, over the 5 years I've been in the Bisons, we've won trophies, we've won medals, we've won plates. It's been fantastic. Whether that be in the UK league, whether that be, coming third in Europe, I think it was, we're known as a team that is fun to play against, but also a really good team to kind of have a crack off, you know? So we don't take it lightly, that's for sure.
So, and is it one of those that also, as like fellow sports players, members, whatever, you also kind of get that club feeling, that gel, you know, you become friends as part of it too?
Oh my gosh. And then some. I mean, we couldn't have picked a better name in the Bisons. I said it a bit jokingly earlier, but we really are a herd. We really are our tribe of people. Many of us, we kind of develop lifelong friendships and goals. I've met my best friends on the Bisons, you know, my chosen family. And it is absolutely our own small community as part of the wider IGR, which is the name of our league, International Gay Rugby. The Bisons just absolutely unlocks a whole host of connections and friendships, and sometimes for some players, love. Not for me, but, you know, I live it.
Now, all those years ago when we did live coverage of the Union Cup, that was quite a big thing. That was 2013, so it was quite a few years ago. And that was amazing because that was European. And I can remember it was the first time ever we'd had listeners from all across Europe tuning in to hear how their respective teams are doing, as well as local supporting the Bisons. But I don't think you should be going any further for the next race you're up to, are you? Right round the other side of the world, to Australia for the Bingham Cup. Do you want to tell us a bit about the Bingham Cup?
Of course. So exactly what you said earlier, Union, think of it as the Euro Cup. Bingham, that's the World Cup, baby. So it is named after Mark Bingham. Mark Bingham was a rugby player in the San Francisco team, and he was also part of the passengers on one of the flights on September 11th. Part of his heroic actions really helped with making sure that plane didn't hit its intended target. And as part of tribute and memory, we have named the cup, as the IGR should say, named the cup after Mark. It is the World Cup. And when I tell you it's one of the most fun, exciting and thrilling events you can be a part of, whether that be to watch, to be there and support, to coach, to play, honestly, it's phenomenal. I remember the feelings I had in Rome, which was 2 years ago when the last World Cup happened and the Bisons attended. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, it's going to be in Brisbane. So we're going to be saying g'day down under.
Wow, gosh. I mean, genuinely, literally, other side of the world. It's what a good long day's trip on a plane to get there. Are you out there yet? Some of them out there? Are you preparing? Or?
A lot of us are leaving at different times. So I know our captain scouted ahead valiantly. So he's already out there to check out down under. And the rest of the team, we're kind of leaving in dribs and drabs over the next week or so.
Cool. So when's it actually taking place then? Are we far away?
No, not at all. So I believe it kicks off on the 19th of August and it culminates on the 23rd of August. So a good few days of that's going to be a mixture of opening ceremonies, so all the teams can meet each other and see who the competition is. Obviously, the knockout rounds culminating in the final and then a big celebration and farewell party. So it's a phenomenal experience if you're ever lucky enough to go to one.
Is it? And I mean, it's the World Cup, so is there literally people from almost every country? Not every country is as open to LGBT things as the UK. I'm not saying the UK is great at the moment, but you know, is there lots from? I'm assuming Europe's a big player in this one as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So there's a heck of a lot of European teams. So teams from France, teams from Amsterdam, teams from Germany. We've got Irish teams. We've got a lot of American teams come in, North and South America, which is fab. And then we also have rest of the world teams, as they're dubbed on the old Bingham socials. If you look at the list of teams, it literally is a collection of different IGR teams from around the world. It's awesome.
Are we hopeful? Are we going to win? Are we going to bring the cup back to the UK?
We're going to bring it back. Yeah, do you know what? The team have been training so hard for this. So hard. As with every tournament, we go in, like I said earlier, we want to play the best and we want to enjoy it. We obviously always want to bring back that silverware, but more importantly is we want to come back knowing that we've done Bristol proud and we've enjoyed ourselves as well.
Yeah, and you're genuinely up against stiff competition too, aren't you? Because I know part of it's the camaraderie and the friendship, but I remember seeing some of them come across from Europe and playing, and they play hard too. They really take it as seriously, don't they?
Yes.
So no wonder the training is good and hard. I mean, how many times a week do you train normally?
So standard, the team will train every Monday and every Thursday. We train over at Cleve. And that would be a mixture of skills, contact skills, kind of match run throughs, a little bit of everything, sometimes a little bit of theory if the weather's not on our side. And on the run up to the Bingham Cup, the team have really been putting the effort in. They've been putting in extra training sessions as much as they can around work schedules, just to really make sure that they're on tip top condition and they're in the right mindset to go and win that crown, that cup.
Is it, which one is it? It's a cup, is it?
It's a cup, yes. Yeah. So depending on the tier that you get, I believe there's four tiers this year, and then depending on which tier you are, you'll win the relevant kind of cup, trophy, plate or bowl, depending on which tier you are in. I believe we're in the second tier this year again. So at the last World Cup, we were able to take 70 Bisons over, which meant we had two full teams, so we're in tier two, tier three. This year, we've got one full team, and I believe we're in tier two.
So, which is not bad, because it's not a long way to go and a lot of money to fundraise. I think you've had quite a bit of help with that, haven't you?
Yeah, do you know what? The fundraising has been immense. So that's been everything from the Bison cycling their way to Brisbane and asking for donations. We've done charity fundraising events at various different establishments. We've had some incredibly generous sponsors who have really believed in the vision and what the Bison stand for to help us get there. One of our big things is to try and support everyone. So no matter what your socioeconomic background, if we can help you in any way, we will help you and subsidize part of your tour costs, we call it, so that they can come and experience the thrill of the World Cup.
That's amazing. It's one of the things I love about Bristol, because people like Bristol Pride do things like that as well. And,
exactly.
You know, we'll help people. It seems to be such a common thing in the LGBT plus community to do that. It's lovely to hear you guys do it too. So, well, I mean, wish you the best of luck with it. You're flying over to be a supporter too, aren't you, I believe?
Supporter, first aider, cameraman, H2O technician. Anything I can do to help with the team, yeah.
Nice. Cool. And is there any way people can keep up with you? Are you posting the results, or is it being broadcast anywhere? I would love to say that Shoutout was going to be there with you. Sadly, we can't.
If only. Yeah, so the easiest way to keep up is on our socials. So if you go onto Instagram, Bisons RFC, you'll find absolutely everything. So from August 1st, we'll be doing a lot of our social kind of announcements on the run-up. So you'll see everything from the brand new kit, which I've got to say, looks phenomenal. It's under embargo at the moment. Otherwise, I would give you an exclusive, Andy, I promise. But it is a phenomenal new kit that we're going to be having out there for the Brisbane World Cup. You'll see all of our kind of player profiles. And then more importantly, you'll see how we're performing. So we'll put up regular updates to say, here's how we're doing in the tournament. And then our overall kind of experience, I guess.
Cool, great. And if anyone is listening going, I didn't know we had a LGBT rugby team in Bristol, I'd like to get involved. What's the best thing for them to do? I mean, obviously follow you and cheer you on and make sure that you're winning, etc. But what if they wanted to actually, like, get involved and come along? Is it something you do as a, like, just turn up on a week, or do you have, like, inductions, or?
A little bit of both, if I'm being honest. So, The least scary way is to drop us a message. You can either do that on the Instagram page, hit message, or you can send us an email, info@bisonsrfc.co.uk. Now, we have open days where on those sessions, it's significantly more relaxed. There's no traditional training per se. It's come and meet the team. Come and have a bit of a fun game of rugby rounders. Come and have a bit of a bit of a chit chat afterwards over at Cleve RFC. Sometimes we do it on the downs, depending on the weather. And that's a lot less kind of intimidating way to meet the team. As I said, we've got our contact and we also have our touch rugby team. So if contact isn't for you and you think, do you know what? I'd prefer not to do union. You can come and give our touch team a go. They're also winning blinking trophies left, right and centre at the moment. Really exciting times for the Bisons.
Cool, brilliant. Well, listen, mate, wish you the best of luck to you and the team. I wish we could come out and cover it too. I've never been to Australia. It'd be great, but you know, perhaps a future one. But for now, from all of us at Shout Out, and I'm sure those that are listening, really good luck. We'll be following you along. Just very quickly, website.
Bison. Website, it'll be, if you just search Bristol Bisons, it'll take you to, I believe it's bristolbisons.co.uk, but all of our links are also on the Instagram page. We've got a nice little hyperlink that'll take you to the website as well.
Cool. And if you're not near a pen, we'll make sure we post this up with the podcast on our website too, so people can listen. But for now, a big thank you to Anthony from the Bisons.
Thank you so much.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
And talking, looking way too fabulous. Hello, Lara.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm here.
Fashionably late.
Yeah, fashionably late. If you heard me trying to get in the door, I was like, let me in. I must be on air.
We were on air, you know.
No, 100%. Like, that was, I was a master of my own doom there. But here we are. Like, yeah. I'm on
Did
it.
Did you get caught in the rain?
There was rain.
That's what I
yes,
said.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Miss me. Yeah. I'm only about the sunshine right now. But yeah, no, okay.
It did last long, you're fine.
It needs to rain.
It does need
Everything's
to rain, yeah.
Dry.
Like a couple of days.
Very dry.
Dust. There'll anyone
be floods.
Dust?
There'll be floods then. We'll have floods next.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's,
well, it's the ground gets that hard, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. When it rains on hard ground, it doesn't sink in.
No, it just but, you know, here we are. Climate change is a thing.
Yeah. And we're China British, we have to moan whatever it is.
I mean,
too hot, too cold, too snowy.
I'm actually not moaning that it's too hot. I'm moaning that we're not built for any weather. Like, we're not built for the cold, we're not built for the heat. We're just like an all-day pigeon rather
spring
than...
Spring and autumn.
Yeah, exactly.
All day pigeon.
Do you know, you used to like say night owl and like morning, like what was it, morning
lark?
Okay, fine. don't think that I was looking for.
Whatever.
Fine, that. Yeah, I'm an all day pigeon. So like,
I've never heard that before. All
no,
day
I
pigeon.
Have. I'm an all day pigeon. I can go morning
just
and night.
You know?
Yeah, just like. Yep, 100%. Bob my head.
Oh dear.
Can't stop.
Well, we're going to have to stop because Terry's got a little bit of work to do now.
Ah, I don't mind giving up for
right
Terry.
With you, Mr. Star.
So. No, I wouldn't give up for Terry, to be fair, here. Including just speaking, you know. So I'll stop now.
You're right, we get some news headlines?
Of course you can. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. Trans blogger Erin Reed and gender specialist Dr. Helen Webberly are both blogging after a Dutch report confirmed what many trans people already know, that gender affirmative care is of benefit and saves lives. The Health Council of the Netherlands, that country's foremost scientific advisory body, has concluded that gender affirming medical treatment for transgender minors is lawful, effective and beneficial. After a 2-year systematic review chaired by a professor of research, methodology, the panel found no recorded cases of regret amongst Dutch patients who began treatment as children. The council warned that refusing care is not a neutral position and described reducing waiting lists as a moral duty. The review examined the available scientific literature, consulted external experts, and even heard from Dr. Hilary Cass, whose UK report on gender services in England the Dutch council judged not applicable to the Netherlands. According to the findings, the care achieves intended physical results and leads to improved mental health outcomes. Amongst those who started treatment as minors, the rate of discontinuing puberty blockers sits between 0 and 3.5%, with no cases of later regret found in any of the studies examined. Where individuals did stop taking blockers, the most common explanation was that their gender dysphoria had resolved. Precisely what the treatment is designed to allow, that is, time for exploration without irreversible physical changes to force a decision. The left-wing weekly Socialist Worker reports that as many as 150,000 participated in last Saturday's Trans March in London. What began as a small gathering in 2019 has swelled into what organisers have described as the largest trans pride event ever held anywhere in the world. Attendance at this year's march has grown significantly compared to previous years. One non-binary participant described the atmosphere as overwhelming and affirming. This is a huge community, they said. I feel so blessed to be here fighting for trans rights. This year's demonstration has taken on a particular significance as the state escalates its attacks on trans individuals. A controversial directive from the Equality and Human Rights Commission is due to come into force on the 5th of August. It will instruct public bodies and institutions to deny trans people access to single-sex spaces, a move widely condemned as transphobic. Jess from the Albert Kennedy Trust, the well-known charity supporting homeless LGBT plus youth, highlighted the real-world impact of the policy shift. She said, "We struggled immensely with the number of referrals coming in since the EHRC guidelines." Her colleague Haley called on the government to act. "We need the government to prioritise homeless LGBT plus people. Housing needs to be talked about and they have to build more houses." The event drew backing from several trade unions, including the NEU, that's the Education Union, Prospect, Equity and the PCS, as well as activist groups such as Transparent Action and FLAG, that's Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gay Men, the latter representing parents and relatives of trans and LGBT plus people. International German broadcasting network Deutsche Welle reported shortly before 7 o'clock on Sunday evening that the main suspect in the attacks on Berlin Pride the previous day had been shot dead by police. Berlin's Senate Department for Interior Affairs confirmed that the fugitive suspect on the Saturday van ramming during Pride was shot dead in the police operation. The BBC News Channel and Sky News in the UK quoted AFP Berlin News Bureau in updating us that the people injured by the attacks on Berlin Pride are no longer in mortal danger but remain in a stable condition in hospital. The update was reported by public service news programme Tagesschau, which cited a police spokesperson as stating that the emergency services had given the all clear for the most severely hurt victims. The Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, quoted by the AFP news agency, echoed this assessment, stressing that nobody injured in the incident remains in mortal danger. This marks a significant shift from earlier statements from the Berlin Fire Department. The attack, which Germany's interior minister has labelled an Islamist terrorist attack, took place during the Pride celebrations in the city. A day later, members of the queer community, who turned out in large numbers for the event, returned to the Brandenburg Gate for an impromptu demonstration, still in shock from the violence. Speeches at the gathering were marked by raw emotion. Participants voiced both their grief and their fury, condemning extremism in all its forms. However, they also directed criticism towards the government, accusing it of insufficient support and specifically pointing to recent budget cuts that have affected queer organisations. And finally, RCS Radio Today, a media news site, reports that Sam Smith, the non-binary hero singer, is working with BBC Radio 1, the corporation's youth network, to promote new bands and to see if one can open for Sam Smith's shows later this year. The new initiative linking Sam Smith with BBC Introducing is set to give 10 up-and-coming musicians the chance of a lifetime. The collaboration, which will be revealed on Radio 1's new music show with Jack Saunders, will see selected acts open for Sam's UK residency performances in Manchester and London later in the year. Aspiring artists can submit their work through the BBC Introducing Uploader between the 29th of July and the 5th of August. Those hoping to be considered must use the Sam Smith tag when sending in their material. A panel from BBC Introducing will then draw up a shortlist, with Sam personally choosing the final 10 acts. Well, that's it from the newsroom this week. We shall have more in our programme next time. In the meantime, be sure to connect with community media in your area for more. Why not start with our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt? For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you. For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's a cinema.
Actually a bop.
That's a cinema popcorn maker, apparently.
That one. Oh, look at you. Do you know what? It's getting to the point where I actually don't comment on your music anymore because it's good.
I love
your selections now.
That must mean you're getting old.
I know. It means that your taste is getting even better.
Oh, right. Nicely put. Ah,
I know you're not the only one that selects them. Steffi does as well. It's just, I love it now.
So, well, that is You Will See by Quarterhead and Cessa, which
I can't
remember where I heard it. It was one of those classic, well, I think it was on the TV or something, so I shazammed it.
You shazammed it and then got it. Yeah. Oh,
Shazam
good
is my favourite thing, you know, when you hear a song, you're like, oh, what is that?
Oh, my God.
And
it's
you just hold it up
apps.
And it's like, oh, you'd never have found that again if it weren't for Shazam.
Honestly,
when technology
concert.
Works in your favour.
So, anyway, a very warm welcome back. Has it been a year?
Two years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we took last year off.
Nate and Chris are back from Pride Gaff.
Hello. So
it's lovely to have you back on again.
Yeah.
Has it really 2 years since you were last on the show?
Yeah, we took a break last
yesterday.
Year.
Yeah.
So.
How was the break?
It was nice. Yeah.
Relaxing or not?
No, you didn't relax.
We attended a lot of weddings.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One of them being in Portugal. So it was just like there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in our lives. So we had to kind of take a break between, you know, you can't do that and organise
it. It's not easy organising events. People look at things really like for example, Bristol Pride. It's massive. Mm. Have you ever seen how few of them organise it?
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh my God, how do you pull that off with so little people? I mean, I'm preaching to the converted. You must know what it's like. So anyway, I know you guys for years, etc. I know what Pride Caf is. But as always, we try and start with an intro. So do you want to introduce what Pride Caf is, how it came about, and then perhaps we can have a chat about some of the plans and the like?
Yeah, so Pride Caf stands for Pride Comic Art Festival. We were the only, but now we just class ourselves as the first LGBTQ dedicated comic art festival. So a lot of people think when we say comics, we mean comedians, but we don't. We mean comic books, right. Graphic novels, zines, graphical literature. That's what we're talking about. And
reading and visual.
And it's a way for us to, both me and Chris, we're both comic nerds.
But you also make them.
Yes, well, I try to.
I don't know if you do, actually, Chris. I've never asked. Are you?
No, I do improv in my spare time. So I'm the other side of comics, as in I try to be funny. Yeah. Sometimes I am, but like not always. But yeah, I draw, but badly, almost on purpose.
But was it through drawing that you've gone into?
Well, I mean, both of us have always really liked comics.
Yeah.
I can only speak for myself, but I've always really loved comics. And we started going to more events that were dedicated more towards independent comics. So we've spoken on the show about Thought Bubble, which is this massive 3-day, well, it's 2 days now, but it's a 2-day convention that happens in Harrogate where they'll have like about 400 plus independent comic artists.
They get about 900 applicants, just to let you know how big that is.
Wow. and they've been going for a few years now, and it's a wonderful place to be. Probably more now, about sort of like 9 or 10 years ago, a chap called Tab Kibton started doing something called the Rainbow Road, which meant that you could go around, you had a little map showing where all the LGBTQ artists were at Thought Bubble, because it's a massive, it takes up three massive halls. And I took this as inspiration to just kind of go like, well, why can't I have a place that is just primarily LGBTQ? Because that's how a lot of the way that I grew up with my identity came from those stories that I was able to find. And so that's when PrideCaf came about. We wanted to run in 2020, but obviously that didn't happen.
Well, no,
it was a small event.
We ran in 2021, where we had just like one of the halls in the station, in central Bristol, and then that progressed into being sort of like two halls in the station. We've just gotten bigger and bigger every year, and so this year is this year is definitely our biggest yet. And so we took
the station.
So we've moved to Sparks. So we're taking up, if anyone knows what the old Marks and Spencers used to be, we've taken up the whole first floor. So we've gone from 60 plus artists to 80 plus artists that are going to be
because you had, like, last time I spoke to you, you'd had hundreds of applicants. Did that happen again this time?
We've exceeded what we kind of wanted, which is lovely. It's a wonderful, weird problem to have.
Yeah.
But it's still really hard to pick.
Yeah. Can I ask this to someone that's like not... Like, now I appreciate how beautiful a comic is, but I never really had them growing up. Like, what do you love about comics, and what do you love about sharing them with other people?
I think because I've always loved drawing when I was a kid, and I've also got dyslexia, so it made it really hard for me to, like, read novels and stuff like that. So comics was, like, a very easy introduction into actually reading and visualizing stories that I couldn't get from reading books. And obviously I grew up in like a small little village in Oxfordshire, so there wasn't really any sort of queer culture at all, so all I really had was from comics. And
I was waiting for you to say it then. You're the only gay in the village.
Yeah, I was. Well, I felt like it. I knew I wasn't, but it felt like it sometimes. And just having those stories really helped me. And it also was just like, I was just a really big fan of the medium, and manga started becoming like a really big thing in the UK when I was sort of like in my teens. So that was also really good to be able to have access to, and they have a lot of queer representation in comics. Sometimes it's not like the greatest, especially like the earlier stuff, but it's getting better and better. And it's just like, it was the first time I ever saw anything that was regarding sort of like gender identity. Like one of my biggest sort of comics was a comic called Ram the Half, which is a very well-known manga and anime as well, where it was about a guy who, when he got hit by cold water, turned into a girl. And that was like my first real introduction into sort of like identity, and kind of going, oh my god, I wish that happened to me. And then obviously that led down a hill of just like, oh, I'm trans. So yeah, it's so I want that to be something that people can see. And also the fact that comics and zines have such a rich history in queer culture.
There's political, sorts of stuff there.
Zines were primarily used to sort of, you know, spread information about health, about the AIDS epidemic and stuff like that. And, you know, especially a lot of time in America, there were the only way that sort of like comic artists could do the stuff that they wanted to do was to do their own comics and publish them and sell them in sex shops and, you know,
get a bit punk about it.
Yeah, it was very punk back in the day to be a comic artist, especially gay comic artist.
So PrideCaf is obviously an LGBT plus one, you said, for reading on from the rainbow route. What's the requirement? Is it the artist has to be LGBT plus, or the content?
No,
or?
Only the artist needs to be somewhere under the LGBTQIA plus umbrella.
Just the person that's applying. They can do whatever content they want. They can do whatever content they want. We don't judge them on content. We don't even judge them for whichever part of the spectrum they rely upon. But we want that space to be safe and full of people of similar nature.
Yeah.
I
was going to ask, what are some of the artists that you're really excited about this year?
I mean, all of them. Because I mean
don't make that a slow favourite.
No, generally, like,
in case they're listening, all of them.
It's so hard to go through the applicants because, as Chris said, it's such a wonderful problem to have, because you're just kind of going, oh my god, they're amazing. Oh my god, that's really good stuff. That's amazing. And you can just see such a like a wide spectrum of different talents and mediums and ideas and stories and cultures. And so it's it's one, like, I can't pick a favorite because there's like, there'll be like an artist who's doing amazing horror stuff, and then there'll be an artist who's doing like some really cute slice of life stuff. And so it's really hard to like pick a favorite.
Don't make us pick favorites.
Yeah, don't make us pick favorites.
No, okay, what I will ask though is like, what has been the thing that you've kind of noticed that has developed over the time of you doing it? So either for you or for the people, artists that have come, do you ever like have artists come back? Or?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we have like
people returning for 4 years in a row.
We have people tell us that it's their favorite like event of the year, like it's their favorite comic event of the year.
We've noticed more people of global majority kind of applying.
Nice, yes.
Okay. Which is wonderful.
I'd love to see that art.
Because it's like, it's run by two white guys, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, please come help.
Yeah. How do you like reach those communities though? Because it must be quite hard, but I'd love to talk about you to like my young people because this is incredible.
Yeah, it's through word of mouth. We kind of put on a good show first of all, and then that word travels really quickly and through various different avenues, and we are trying to kind of like not be like two white guys running a thing. We are trying to be as welcoming as we possibly can, so we get people from all sorts of walks of life, all sorts of creed, color, backgrounds, you name it.
And adding to that, like all different levels of experience.
Absolutely.
Like there's some people where it's their first ever event, it's some people where it's like they're
exhibiting
exhibiting. Oh, right. So like, you know, there's people who are fresh out of university who have never,
our youngest comic maker was 15.
Wow.
In their first year that they ever did it, and they came with their parents. Wow. And their parents were really supportive, and now they're like a comic aficionado. We've seen them go from strength to strength.
Oh, it's so cute.
That must be beautiful to see. Lovely, like I love that chat. Like when they see
breaks your heart.
The confidence. Like is that where you see the change in
people? Yeah.
And like, do they have like, obviously you're developing a style. Do you see the style develop as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been really lovely that we've
Do you go buy a first edition when they come on the first time, just in case like in like 40 years time, like it's worth a fortune or something?
Oh yeah. Like we've like, talk about Shazleen Khan, because Shazleen, absolutely brilliant artist and comic creator as well, they would make their comic and they would primarily just put it on online, and they wanted to then publish it because they wanted to sort of have like, because people were asking, I want a physical copy of this, but you didn't necessarily have to buy it. They were just like, I want this to be accessible for everyone, look at it on Webtoons or wherever they were publishing it. So I've got five of the last of their like independently published ones, because now they've actually been picked up by a publisher and now they're actually getting it republished
and sold out, there's no more copies left.
So I feel really privileged that I've got all five copies all signed by Shazleen.
You get to see the like the very seeds of like
it's incredible. Like it's really hard to get picked up by a publishing company, and so like something that Shazleen's works right probably really 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 hard on, and there are like incredible, and their story is incredible as well.
Wow.
So next event we were talking about, when's it coming?
It's the 19th of September.
It's
Saturday. Saturday starts at 11 a.m and goes on till 5 p.m We will say that if you are particularly someone who is neurodiverse, who doesn't particularly like loud spaces, we'd recommend coming at 11 a.m or 4 p.m which is usually our more quiet times. But we'll have talks throughout the days, we'll have panels throughout the days as well, which will be downstairs, and then the whole festival will be upstairs on the first floor. We've got confirmation on two guests,
at least
two guests. We're waiting for confirmation from the other two,
at least one more.
Like we're really excited to have Hamish Steele, who, anyone who doesn't know Hamish Steele, he was the creator of Deadendia, which is the cartoon on Netflix that Elon Musk made a big old fuss about, saying that there was the trans agenda on it. So
Hamish, the problem is they do that though, and it just shoots it up the rankings, you know. So as much as you hate the guy, it does a bit of favour.
But Deadendia is really good, and Hamish also has like a bunch of other really good comics that we'd recommend that you come and see. And we've got Ollie Hicks as well, who with their partner Emma, they made a comic called Grand Slam Romance, which is a softball lesbian romance.
It's an amazing trilogy.
My ears prick up. Lesbian, hello.
It's such an amazing trilogy. It's three books. Like you buy all three and they're great.
Yeah,
I can't recommend them enough.
I'm so glad I turned up today. I am so happy.
Oh, we love you too, love.
She just asked my best friend, like, can we go to this queer comic book convention? And I'm buzzing.
I've got flyers in my bag.
So, take biggest question.
Treat us.
Tickets, costs.
Well, it's free.
Zero.
Absolutely free.
That. Zip.
Zip.
Wait, how do you make sure it doesn't overcrowd?
Well, we have people on the door watching kind of how many people we come in. So we are bound by the limits of the building.
Right.
So we have people coming in and we just kind of...
That's why you keep moving to a bigger building, though.
Yeah, that's why we have to move into a bigger building.
We have a ticker and we basically just watch the crowd. And if we have to have a queue, we will, but we hope that we don't have to. But there's usually just the general throughput. So the more word we can get out, the more people we can get in, then the better, because it's then more people that might buy something from the creator benefits us in the long run, because we don't make any money from it, but we kind of get that really joyous feeling of like, oh god, we did this, and that's amazing.
Do you let people donate if they want?
We're looking to actually release a supporter ticket this year, which people can find on Head First. It's not out yet, but it will be. But they'll get like a nice tote bag and some little prezzies to say thank you.
You can go to our website eventually, pridecaf.co.uk.
It will be announced on like our socials and
social
stuff.
Media. But
people can donate. We have a raffle during the day where exhibitors sort of donate little bits and pieces for that. And that's available to everyone, and you know, it's just a quid, because we know that especially nowadays, like, not everyone is doing great financially. Especially a good portion of people who do come to our event, so we want that to not be a barrier. We don't want finance to be a barrier for people to come in. And we also want people to spend their money on the exhibitors, because that's the most important thing. It's like, people come to buy comics and prints and stickers and key rings and things like that. And like,
but there are a lot of people that appreciate the work and effort that goes into putting something on. And 50p or a pound is not going to break the bank.
We'll have a donation.
Do you have all the cards as well? Like the card machines that you can just
We would like to to bring up that we did get some funding from the Bristol Pride Community Fund. They gave us some money so that we were able to actually get our guests down and pay for travel and pay for their accommodation as well. So thank you, Bristol Pride, for that.
Shout out to Bristol Pride.
Well, we've never made it along yet. Perhaps we'll have to talk to you after the show.
We
can get along and come.
If you're going to do it, this year is going to be a good one. We hope so.
We have had people come along. And can we name drop?
Sure.
We'll name drop Steve at the Bear Bar, who said he wouldn't come along because it wouldn't be his thing. And then he came along in like 2023, I think, and actually he complained that we didn't have bags so that he could take all the stuff with him.
Yeah. And the next year we got bags.
And next year we got bags.
That's influence. I love that.
So you might come away with like a bunch of stuff, and we hope that you do, and take it home and you read it, and then maybe you pass it on to somebody else, and then they read it, and then they may buy something directly from the artist, or they might wait for the next comic convention or comic festival, and then they might go and follow them. And that's what it's all about.
How many are there roughly in the UK, these comic festivals?
Weird ones. Wow. Some of them will be quite tiny, some of them will be big as like Harrogate. So there's like, we
queer ones, not
but
that
you
many.
You made sure we had one in Bristol.
I
love that.
And the first queer one too.
There's one in London about a week or so after ours.
Inked is in London as well, and they've taken a lot of inspiration from us, and we can say that with confidence because they have told us.
Because they told us.
We were the first ones.
That is I can't say the word on air, but very.
Yeah, it's very humbling when someone takes your idea.
And I mean, they're a bunch of comic artists themselves, and absolutely really lovely people as well. Yeah. So if you are in London, we'd recommend going to that one as well.
But also, if you're in London, come to Bristol.
Yeah.
It's national. Why we should visit each other's.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's what I said. I remember I gave an interview, not to make this about me. I'll segue into it. But what I said is that it's really important for people to find joy in like their queerness and their queer community and things that they collectively enjoy. Because I think, I know that seems obvious, but like actually going and look up like queer conventions like yours can actually bring you the people you need to feel part of something.
Exactly.
And I think so many people just can enjoy things at home or in front of their desk and not engage with the community and feel that energy, because you don't have to say anything, it's just the energy of feeling that love.
Absolutely. And that's kind of why we wanted to focus it on the LGBTQ community.
Do you think you'll ever end up doing a 2-day one?
Oh,
Saturday
Andy.
Anderson.
I mean, we've been thinking about it, but it's finding the space that we can do it in.
We had to kind of go bigger this year because we ran out of space. So we went bigger, and now we don't know. We might need some people to help eventually.
I think that if you put a call out to the community in Oxford, like Pride does, I'm pretty sure you'll get people, or even to the people that visit.
Yeah.
They want it to keep going and expanding.
I mean, for a new thing this year is that we have actually got like a volunteer committee.
Excellent.
And we get together every month and they help us sort of come up with decisions and stuff, and they're from all over the country, all different walks of life and things like that. So that
helps stop Nate and I arguing about like, I want this, I want this. Let's ask the community. And so the community really helped us pick our artists this year and our creators this year. So when we were stuck, we kind of turned to them and we got them to fill in a Excel spreadsheet. It's just
you really got to a point where you couldn't agree on terms.
Basically, yeah. It's so hard to pick.
No, it must be like excellent with excellent. How are you going to pick?
You get 120 plus like people apply.
Yeah.
And how do you pick 80 out of that? Like,
how do you use that 170?
125, 126 applications.
Because it's almost like it's hard because you want to give it to everyone at that point, because it's not so many. You're like, oh, you can just, it's, yeah.
But we don't want to overcrowd it as well. Mm. So it's kind of finding that niche point.
Obviously too late for this year, but if someone's listening going, I didn't know about that, I'd love to apply, when does that bit happen?
we usually send advertise for applicants around about late March, early April.
Right. There's a mailing list application form on our website, so you can always sign up to a mailing list if you don't do social media, and we do a shout out on that.
What is that website?
pridecaf.co.uk.
Okay.
Pridecaf.
Yeah. And all of our socials is just at Pridecaf.
Well, a few weeks away yet.
Yeah.
Which I bet means you're going to have a busy few weeks this year.
Yep.
We'll have to make sure we give out more info about it.
We're flyering and postering galore. So if you've got places that we can put posters.
Oh, we got places, yeah.
Get in touch with us in any way, shape or form, and we will send you posters. We will send you flyers. We just want to put the word out.
Come and support it.
It's basically, it's why we're here, to get the word out.
Yes.
Because it's useless without the people attending, and it's useless without the exhibitors. And then
I get the impression from you guys, they're a lovely community anyway. They're all kind of
the comic community is the best.
I know it is.
Anyway, a big thanks to Nate and to Chris. And good luck with Pridecaf.
I know it's
always a brilliant event. So that's it for this week. If you do have an event or a story, or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in the radio here with us, check us out online and get in touch.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, Hollyoaks does it again. We'll tell you more about that next week. From myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.